All right, we've said it all before. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Love Your Mother Day. Call your mother. She's worried. Let her know you love her. No? Have you been eating your food? That's skin on your bones. Right? We got to let your mom know you love her. Seriously, you only get one. So today, make sure that you let your mother know that you love her. And as you get to do that today, I want you to let two people know around you. God loves you and God likes you. And God likes you. God loves you and God likes you. Likes you. We got to remember that. God loves you and God likes you. As we see, the craft's got my back. Everybody's got my, everybody, we got each other's back. Listen, it's easy to believe God loves you, but sometimes we can all admit we love some people we don't like. It's family. I mean, that's just family. It is what it is. That is what it is. So it's hard for us at times to believe that God likes us and actually loves us. So it wouldn't be appropriate to start Mother's Day without sharing some pictures of my mother. So the first picture you're going to see is a picture of my mom. I think it was really close when I got back after the hospital. You see Olivia there holding the cabbage patch waiting for her turn for me to go. I don't know exactly when. I can't remember what was on the back of the picture, but I know it was close to when I got home from the hospital. Had to be. What now? Probably. Okay. Let's say it had to be close to when I got home. So that was there. So if you see that, if you can see, I'm thinking about something. Now, I've speculated often what that is. Maybe macaroni and cheese or banana pudding. Maybe you find people. Or maybe what I was thinking is in just a few, maybe like a year and a half, I will get to wear the greatest shirt ever made. And you're going to see it pop up here. No. The shirt my dad got me, it's my favorite shirt that I had when I was little. And sometimes, you know, they have the little skits where you tap the sign. I think I need that shirt from now on. I just tap the shirt. Just no. No. It's the infamous no shirt. It's me. As you can see, I still haven't missed any meals. I was rocking it. I had the sandals. I don't know if I had socks on there. Who knows what it is, but it was blue on blue, and it has what it is. And just so you know, the back of the hair, my back of my hair, I think had curls at that time as I kept getting older. So if you want to see that, it's no. So I just want to let you know, if you always hear no from your parents or from someone, it just means that they're trying to get you to your best yes. Because if you know me today, most of the time it is no, but I don't always say no. Especially if somebody says, man, you should wear all white with sunglasses and a cowboy hat. And I said, you know what? I can do that too. Sometimes you got to be like, you know, I'm me. If you know, you know. Even had the chain on there, was ready to go, was rocking and rolling. So if you see some things, a lot of parents, you have that. Just understand, kiddos, it doesn't always have to be no. It can be a yes. But as you have that yes, I just want to say, Mom, sometimes you see that, and it can give you what we're going to talk about today a little bit. But before we get there and talk about what we're going to talk about, if we will, seeing that, it makes me think of moms. And how does the old saying go? Live, laugh, lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes so you can love them and not send them to Jesus. Is that how that goes? Is that what it's supposed to be? I think that is. I think that's what it is. Live, laugh, and love, people like to say. But parents, you know, bathroom time when you've got kids is like the only time. You just need a minute. You just need a minute, and you still don't get that. Like, you just need a minute, right? It's so funny, like, if you think about that growing up, you can tell your kid to wait a minute, and we can't do that. But if you are late for something, they surely let you know. If you forgot something, you're 1 second late. The Amazon package was supposed to be here yesterday, Mom. Like, call the guy. I got to have it, right? But when you see all that, and it makes me think about where we are, I think sometimes mothers, this year we've got a lot of folks maybe are celebrating their mothers, being new moms, maybe being moms again. This year is my mother's sixth year in heaven with Jesus. So some of us don't have moms. Some are going through their first year without their mom. Whatever that is, it is something that we get to celebrate on Mother's Day. But I would say whether you're a mother or you're anyone else, we're going to struggle with what we're going to talk about today, and it's worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. It's something we all struggle with. It's something that we all, moms I know especially have it. I know oftentimes we don't think moms. Moms are protectors, so mom try to make sure that your kiddos are good. But sometimes we let worry and stress get us. As a matter of fact, here's some stats as we talk about worry and anxiety. 40 million Americans live with a medical diagnosis of anxiety or depression. 90%+ of medical visits are stress-related, anxiety-related, or depression-related. And I just want to say, when it comes to that, we aren't talking about a chemical imbalance. Can Jesus heal you? Yes, but if you have to take medicine for a chemical imbalance, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus created us for a time such as this. This isn't what Jesus is talking about. You know, that sometimes people think that, can Jesus heal you? Absolutely. But, you know, the healing may come from the medication that the doctor needs to give you, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what Jesus is talking about is something more today when it comes to worry and anxiety. He's trying to lean into us and teach us that he is the only one that we should be seeking, and when we don't, we have worry and anxiety. So let's talk about five areas where we have anxiety, the things that wake us up at 5 or at 2 a.m. in the morning. 5 a.m., well, you know, that's a normal day, right? But at 2 a.m. in the morning, usually it's our health. Am I sick? Is this the next pandemic, right? Is the next one coming? Right now it's something, I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe I just, wherever you are, if that's you, maybe if you're a hypochondriac, you're sick all the time, and your tombstone just says, I told you I was sick, like one of those things, one of those people. Maybe it's not your health. Maybe it's safety. Maybe you're struggling with your safety. You freak out about being safe. You know, the best question you ask for that, if you stay up at night and wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning, I know the question you're asking, did I lock my car door? Like, did I do that? It's either the car door or the front door. And then you go and you hit the remote and you still hear it and you're just like, but the door could be cracked when that happens, right? Like you freak out, just something crazy. It'll give you anxiety and depression, something that seems so small. That's one, maybe our health, maybe our safety. The other is finances. In the world we live in is finances. We often can be struggling with anxiety and worry with our finances. Will I have enough to get through the end of the month? Will I have enough to get through the end of today? Can I make this work? Perhaps it's politics, and the world we live in is politics, right? If that person wins, it's all over, and if that person wins, it's all over. And it's like, it's all over anyway because Jesus is coming back again, so I don't really care. Whoever wins, I know that he's sovereign over it, right? Sorry, I just answered your question in that worry and anxiety. But don't get caught in the political game in that because it doesn't matter in the end. Jesus is over. It doesn't mean we don't participate in elections, but it surely shouldn't keep us up at night. Jesus didn't worry who Caesar was, did he? When he was praying in the garden, he didn't say, Father, Caesar needs to stay there. No, he didn't. And then he said, pizza, pizza, right? Like, no, it wasn't anything like that. No. So politics. Maybe the other is relationships. Maybe that's something that keeps us up at night. It's funny, the world we live in, technology has shrunk the world where we can know each other better than before, and yet we know fewer people than ever before. Sometimes we know too much about somebody because they posted online. If you know what I'm saying, like just some like, you really posted that? Like, wow, okay, that's all right. Yeah, you need to see a doctor about that and ask. It's not a rash. Go see a doctor. You know. That being said, like something like that. Yes, something like that. Maybe you're like me, worry and anxiety when it comes to me. Everything seems to be going great. And as the phrase goes, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Because it always does, doesn't it? It just seems like it always does. And it's funny, when I look for the other shoe to drop, I'm just kidding. Now, wouldn't it be great if a shoe just fell? Like, man, if there was ever a time, like, you just see Zach throw a shoe from, like, the top, and it just comes down. It'd be great. That would have been funny. Watch out, middle section. Yeah, it's going to happen. So, that being said, that's just me, and it causes me worry and anxiety. It, like, you just have that feeling. It's going too good. Something bad's about to happen. I know it is. And that can cause you worry and anxiety. And the world we live in, that's what the world wants. Look at the news cycle. If you ever have to watch that, fear and panic sells. They don't sell you things when you feel good, right? Like it used to be that way, but now it's just like, oh, if you don't take this, if you don't get that, if you don't take this, oh, but this causes this, and this causes this, and this causes this, and this causes this. And it's just like, hey guys, you know the truth? We have one destination. Sin has one wage, church. So why worry about it? Trust Jesus. He's the only thing that's safe dying in. Whether we want to hear that or not, it is the gospel truth. And so today, if we're struggling with worry and anxiety, I want to quickly give us three focuses that Jesus is going to give us as we talk about worry and anxiety, because three things that can help us not have blurry vision, not have just this worry and anxiety and depression. And I'm praying that as we leave here, we'll be freed of that because I'll be honest with you, I know many of us are going to be up tonight at 2 a.m. because something else is going to come up. School's coming out. Graduation's coming up. I think prom just happened. Got all these crazy things happen. But I'm praying that these three focuses will help us be able not to stay in this worry train that Satan tries to keep us in and instead walk in the freedom and the John 10:10 life that Jesus gave us. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be wrapping up Matthew chapter 6 today. So we're kind of staying in the Sermon on the Mount, even on Mother's Day. Almost, instead of saying worry and anxiety, I almost put this, what it says, if you have like an NIV Bible, it usually gives you a heading, and it literally the heading is, do not worry. And I knew I couldn't stand up there and tell you do not worry, even though Jesus is going to teach us that, because I worry. We all worry. So how terrible and hypocritical would it be for me to stand up here and tell you, do not worry. You know, now, well, we are doing it. So Jesus is going to help us with that. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and get to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. If you don't, as always, there's some over in the back, free for the taking. If you like to follow with us digitally online, maybe you do it on your Bible app, or you can follow us in our Vine Church app. You can go to vine.tv/app today, absolutely free, and you can keep up with us there. But also, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, Zach Candler and our Vine production team will make sure that a shoe is thrown from the... I'm just kidding. I'm just waiting for it to happen. Just waiting. So they make sure that the scripture is on the screen for you. So today, if we are ready to receive what Jesus has for us and learning about worry and anxiety, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. Let's go verse 25 to verse 27 first. It says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Now, as we go to verse 26 and 27 here, in just a moment, here's the thing. Jesus commands us not to worry. That's a hard thing to take in, isn't it? But the beautiful thing about following Jesus is even though he commands us not to worry, he gives us instruction on how not to do it and gives us a beautiful example on how we can walk through not having to worry about everything. It says this in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. They just like to poop on your car when you just washed it. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different one. My bad. That's a different version. That's the, I just washed mom's car for Mother's Day, and this bird is out there. I love you Cardinals, but that's not fun. So, no, it says, they do not sow or they do not reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, oftentimes when you read this, people misconstrue this and they say, see, Jesus says don't work. But he didn't say don't work, does he? He said he feeds the birds. But let me ask you something. Those who are early risers and you get up before the morning sun and you hear the birds outside, do they just sit there and wait for worms to fall down from heaven? Yeah, wouldn't that be it? Cloudy with a chance of earthworms? Like, it just doesn't work that way. They got to go out and get it. So we still sow and reap. So if we sow and reap, that can't be the cause of our worry. We can't let our work be the cause of our worry. Jesus is saying, do not worry, even though you do work. But he says the problem is when you do worry, you try to add a single hour to your life. The average lifespan in America right now is 78 years old. Most of us are calculating where we are on that. I'm 85, so I've got you all beat. It's all good. So that being said, yeah, I'm like 1,000, you know, somewhere, right? Here's the hours that is. Crazy when you think about it. That's 683,280 hours you get. Jesus saying worrying doesn't get you 683,281. You can't do it. But you can certainly miss out on the John 10:10 life he came to bring you, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, does he not? He can rob you of those hours, plenty of those hours, with worry and anxiety, keeping you up at night when you should be resting in the Lord. He can do plenty of that. So Jesus is saying that you can't add anything to your life by worrying, so why waste your time doing it? He goes on to say this in verse 28 to 34. And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? See, unlike birds who hunt, flowers have to bloom where they're planted, don't they? Does the flower choose where its seed falls? It has one job, take root. That's it. It can't do anything else. It can't water itself. It can't grow itself. The only way that it can actually flourish is if it blooms where it's planted. It's got to take root right where it is. It can't worry about the flower across the forest, the flower across the street, the flower in the other flower bed. It just has to bloom right where it's planted. And maybe that's where we are. We don't like where we're planted. We're mad at God because of where he's rooted us, and we get mad at him, and it gives us worry and anxiety. And Jesus is saying right here, stop worrying about that. Trust God and grow deep roots in him and watch your life flourish in him. Now, I'm not talking prosperity gospel, although if you do want to go buy a lotto ticket after this, we'll gladly accept tithes and offerings off that as a Bible-believing church. We'll take that. That Learjet ain't paying for itself, y'all. I'm just saying, all the way through, no, it's not a beer jet. That's for Father's Day. Anyway, that being said, all the way through, Jesus is teaching us, though, that we can't be worried about those things because it shows our lack of faith. See, worry is a spiritual issue. It's a very spiritual issue. It isn't this that we don't trust God. It's that we don't believe in his goodness. We worship in the goodness of God, but it's hard for us to believe the goodness of God. I want you to think about that. We hear about the wrath of God and the sovereignty of God, but how much do we really talk about the goodness of God? We sing about it. You know what makes me want to know God more? The goodness of God. If I just think God is out to punish me, then all I'm going to do is try to be caught doing something good, yet inevitably I'm going to do something bad. Yet in his goodness and his grace and mercy, even the bad Jesus died for, and God still loves me. So what are you searching for? The goodness of God or not? What if we spent time worshiping God and his goodness instead of worrying about the things of this world? That's what we just talked about last week, right? Where we're storing things up. He goes on to say in verse 31 and 32, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Often I read this, and I worry about people whose last names are pagans, like pagan. Wouldn't that be? I used to work with one whose last name was pagan. I'm just like, they go in church and they hear about this. How would that feel, right? Right on Mother's Day. The pagans run after this. It's, whoa, he just called me out. This is what Jesus is saying here. You don't realize this as a child, all right? Really, you don't. You realize it and you appreciate it even before you have children, but as you get older. When you were a child, were you worried about what clothes to wear? Did you worry about what your clothes looked like until somebody at school said something about them? How about your next meal? Did you worry about it? Now, I know there are children who are hungry and there are people who are poverty, but just hear me out. Most of the time, no. Did you worry about what mom and dad dropped you off in at school? The car they had? No, man. You just had your fat head in the front seat, ready to go with the window down. You're like me. I was old, okay? We old school. We had to have the automatic, right? You didn't care. This is what Jesus is teaching us to have is childlike faith like that. Trust him for what you're going to wear. Trust him to provide the food that you need. Trust him to give you exactly what you need and stop worrying about everything else. It's how you know you can wear and rock all white with the sunglasses and a cowboy hat and know, like, hey, it's all good in the hood. You know what I'm saying? We're good. But maybe today that's what we're trying to do. Used to hear it growing up, keeping up with the Joneses, right? Maybe today we just need to be where Jesus calls us to be, deeply rooted in him, blooming where we're planted, not worrying about things outside of our control. And he gives one of the most famous things that I would say. Next week, we celebrate graduation, but I would say to every graduate, we're not going to be talking about this next week. We're going to talk about something. Go to Matthew 7 if you want to know what we're talking about next week. But wherever you are, this is the best advice I would give to you, some of the best advice that Jesus says, especially when it comes to worry. Verse 33 and 34 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. The things he just talked about, clothes to wear, food to eat, all of those things will be given to you if you seek God first. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is saying if we should be worried about anything, it's about God first and his will. That's what we should be worried about. Am I in the will of God? Am I seeking God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? If I'm not doing that, then nothing else is going to be in alignment. Everything else is going to be messed up. Because we can't walk in the fullness of the goodness of God. He says we have enough to handle for today because worrying for tomorrow doesn't do anything for us. So I'm going to give you some, again, graduates, I'm going to give you some real life advice. Life is hard. Being in shape, hard. Being out of shape, hard. Being successful in business, hard. Being lazy, hard. It is hard. Making money, hard. Losing money, hard. It is very difficult. Life is hard. No matter what, which one do you choose? Because it's going to be hard. We're going to have trouble in this life. The question is, do we believe God exists or not? Because if he doesn't, then it's all worthless and pointless. But if he does, then the hard really doesn't matter, because the only four-letter word that matters is love, and his love in us. And that will cause us not to have worry and anxiety, because we're fully trusting and focusing on him and his goodness. So here are the three focuses really quickly that he gives us. He starts where everything starts. He says we should focus on God. He does that in verse 26 and 33. He said, your heavenly Father feeds the birds, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is where everything starts when it comes to your worry and anxiety. It means your focus is not on God, which means we got to start at the beginning. It means you got to believe God exists. Because if you don't, then you're going to focus on everything else. How many of our lives fall apart when we don't live by this truth? Chaos takes over. Panic. Grasping. Climbing the ladder, rung by rung, only to realize you were going down the escalator, not up it. All the way through, for each and every one of us. See, you and I can be stuck in worry because we try to remove God out of the equation, right? We don't focus on God. We don't focus on what he wants us to do. So at 2 a.m., when you wake up worrying, if God doesn't exist, then all things can't be made right. Let me ask you this. Here's the real question. If you don't believe in God at 2 a.m. and you're waking up, it means nothing matters. If God doesn't exist, nothing really matters. We don't matter, do we? It's all pointless, right? So why are you worrying? If it doesn't matter, why are you worrying? What's the point in worrying? If you're a skeptic of Jesus right now, like, why are you worrying? If God don't exist, why in the world are you worrying? But there's something. If you don't know him and you don't believe he exists, that's why you're worrying, because you're longing for something more, something that you know is true, yet you've forgotten somehow. Like, you don't know what it means, and that is the Holy Spirit prompting you today to seek God, seek heaven, focus on him. And so if you're still skeptical about it, a simple question. Can you see oxygen? Maybe without a flame. Let's just be real. Can you see oxygen? Does it exist? Did you and I see the creation of the world? Yet it exists, right? Hey, who knew the architect of this building? No, but it exists. We're sitting in it, right? So if something exists, but you can't see it, maybe, just maybe, God does exist. Maybe there is a point, because if God does exist, when you wake up at 2 a.m., you're not going through this alone. You have someone to cry out to say, God, how much longer will it take? God, have you forgotten me? And if you think that's the wrong thing to ask God, read all of the Psalms. David does that. He starts it by saying, Lord, how long will you make me wait? Have you hidden your face to me? And at the end, he's worshiping God and his goodness. And he says, yet I know you will not forsake me. Think on that, church. Maybe that's where we go. But first, we should focus on God. The next, we're going to build on that. Jesus says, focus on God's provision. So it starts by focusing on God. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We focus on his provision. He talks about that in verse 26 and verse 31 and verse 32. When he talks about the birds of the air, do not worry about what you eat or wear, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. Now, I'm going to say something shocking to you, but it won't be to parents. And here we go. First and foremost, do you know nothing surprises God? Kids, I hate to tell you, nothing surprises your parents because they've been there. You think it does. You think they don't know you, but they do because they did the same things. They struggled with the same worry and anxiety. It doesn't mean that it's not more intense now because I get it. It absolutely is. But they still have the same thing. Nothing surprises you as a parent. And you say, that's not true, but it is true. Think about it. Like, this world's a crazy place. That's not surprising to you. That's not a surprising thing to you. Like, when we grew up, you had to be in when the streetlights were on, right? Like, that's not the world we live in now. You can't do that anymore. Now you got to be in when the light on the cell phone hits 2%, right? Like, whatever that is. Like, you're inside until that goes. Nothing surprises. Perfect timing. Nothing surprises you, right? That was an amen. We went Pentecostal today in the church, so we got the amen. I'm fine with that. So that being said, I want you to think about this when it comes to that. If nothing surprises God, that means everything you're going to go through life first goes through his hands before it comes to you. He told him his eyes on the sparrow. Not a sparrow falls without him knowing. Even those birds in the air that he feeds, he knows when one falls. Think about that. Jesus is saying, if he cares enough about that, how much more does he care for you that he gave his son? How much more does he care for you? Jesus, again, is diving into the goodness of God. How much more does he care for you that he didn't let his wrath fall on you? He sent his son so that his wrath could fall on him for each and every one of us so that we don't have to walk through it. But we get to walk in the fullness of God's goodness. And again, I'm going to go back to this. Parents, moms, dads, wherever you are, if you want your child to pursue the Lord, teach him about his goodness. It's the most attractive thing. You know why I say that? Are you more... Oh, this is going to be really hard. You can tell I don't have kids here, so that's fine. You can throw something. I can hear from the parents after. Is it better to be around your child when they're good or when they're bad? When you're having to punish them? Which one do you enjoy more, parents? Because kids, we don't get this as a child. We think our parents love punishing us, don't we? They're so mean, they just have to punish us. I don't ever get anything, right? Yet when you're good, you're loving your parents, you're hugging your parents. Think of the conversations you have with your parents when you're good. That's God to us. I know it's Mother's Day, but that's Father God to us. Our goodness. We get to rest in his goodness. That's what he's saying. He says, listen, I want to talk to you. I know you're walking through this. You're not doing it alone. I want to spend this time with you. I'm not here to spend all this time punishing you. I made a way so that I don't have to punish you. Parents, teach your children that. Because long after that, they'll pursue God's goodness long before they'll pursue him punishing them. Because again, they're going to spend all their time trying to get that I was caught being good sticker, knowing that they could never hold that up because none of us can. Teach them about God's goodness. Why don't we like to teach God about God? Why don't we like to teach about God's goodness? Or why don't we like to focus on God's provision? And it's really simple: control. We like to be in control, don't we? We think we can write a better story for our life than God can. I want to do it my way. We want to sing the old Sinatra, right? I did it my way. I wanted to do it my way, my way, my way. And the problem is our way has one destination, church. Hell. Literally, it's a highway to hell. That's it. That's it. But God's way has provision eternally, not just now. The question is, will we relinquish control to him? Because here's the thing when it comes to God and control. When I lose that job, I don't know what happened, but God knows. When they left me, I don't know what happened, but God knows. When they said that thing about me, I don't know why they said it or why they did it, but God knows. I don't know why this great thing that I thought was great and the other shoe fell. The other shoe fell. I don't know, but God knows. See, when I know God exists and I can focus on his provision, all of a sudden my worries shift and it changes how I look at it, which is why quickly, church, I always talk about the why God box and a synopsis. Really quickly, if I could say it, I have this little box. We all have a why God box where we ask our why God questions. Why did this happen, God? Why did that happen, God? Why didn't I get to experience this or get that, do that? Or why did you stop that from happening? And then usually we start the Garth Brooks song and sometimes I thank God. Ooh, doo, doo. Anyway, you know, for unanswered prayers. Yeah, anyways, so that being said, we do that. But we go to that Why God box, and we pull it out. And I want to tell you, I go to it too at 2 a.m. And I start filtering through those questions. And sometimes God tells me why. And sometimes he says, you won't find out why till you are with me eternally. The difference between me having worry and anxiety about it and dwelling on it or not is I leave that Why God box at his feet. I don't pick it up again. And he loves me enough that he can handle any question I bring him. And he loves me enough to walk with me through it. He also loves me enough to say, one day you will know what it all means. What if that thing that's happening right now makes sense 10 years from now? Could you handle it right now? Because I know I couldn't. I know I can't handle what God was putting in motion 1 year ago to now. Much less 10 years ago. Wherever you are, focus on his provision. And last but not least, focus on his love. He says, look at the birds of the air. But your heavenly Father feeds them. In verse 26 and verse 30, he said, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field that is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you? In 32, he talks about the pagans run after the things of this world, but your heavenly Father knows you need not only the things of this world, the things eternally. Because God not only loves you, God likes you. And maybe right now you don't think anybody likes you. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Yes, I'll go eat worms. Right. No? Maybe that's where you are. God does. Maybe you're rejected at every turn. God's not rejecting. God's standing there with arms wide open. He loves you. See, you and I think that God will make us live forever without pain, comfortably. And if that's the case, guess what? None of us would be born. Mamas, we loved it in there. We had a great little apartment. Y'all made great room for us. We had a good time in there. We just had to ring a doorbell for service. You know, we just pulled on the little bellhop. We had food whenever we wanted. We got to swim around, kick whatever we wanted. Your bladder, your spleen, your kidneys, they were great punching bags. We got to tear those up as babies in there. You know what I mean? You know, oh, you just ate something? Like we were ready to go. Oh, you thought you didn't have to pee? Pop, pop. Like, you know, we were ready to go. But instead, see, Jesus came so that we wouldn't be comfortable. Why? Because comfort only leads us to hell. Because we're born in sin. See, Jesus came so that we would be transformed to be who we were created to be. And that's the most uncomfortable thing ever. Because it requires us dying to ourselves, to live in him. See, the thing that causes us the most anxiety is death. It's the thing we try to prolong the most. And there's nothing wrong with trying to be healthy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But in the end, unless Jesus returns, that tombstone's going to have a beginning and end date. No matter what we do on this earth, a beginning and end date. But eternally, we have a choice that can be made on this earth. See, when we talk about pain, when we talk about death that causes us anxiety, imagine you're God the Father and you give the best gift ever, your one and only Son. Just for the possibility for people to say yes to you, knowing that the majority of all of human existence will reject him. Would you be willing to give your son for just one salvation? I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I would. But we serve a good God who is full of grace and mercy that gave his one and only son, that if only one person said yes to him, he would come. If I was the only sinner who walked this earth, Jesus would have still came for me. That's God's goodness and his mercy. So instead of doing everything you can to try to save yourself, instead of trying to do everything you can to prolong the inevitable that is death, would you trust that Jesus alone is the only place that is safe dying? Because Jesus says it this way in John 16:33, very familiar verse. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying the things of this world are going to pass away. And in this world, you're going to have trouble. There are only glimpses of what heaven is, but not the fullness of what heaven is. The fullness that you and I have, where all wrongs are made right. There will be no more tears, no more mourning, no more pain, no more boo-boos to get cleaned up. No more, listen, parents, no more bathroom breaks, because you're going to be in peace, because you're just going to send them to Jesus. You ain't got to worry about it. They're not going to annoy you all the time, right, when that happens. No more cancer. No more death. Just the goodness of God and his fullness that we were created to live in. No longer dead in our sin, in our comfort, but now having the fullness of God's goodness by faith in Christ. So where are you today? Are you trying to worry about the million things that are happening that eventually in 5 years won't be here? Or do you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I know many of us today know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Maybe you don't. Today is your opportunity to consider Jesus. We're about to say the words of this prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith of this prayer that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one prays alone here at the Vine Church. I'm going to ask our Vine fam to repeat the words of this prayer of faith out loud after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time you can say that you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If for the first time you're in the house, you give your life to the Lord, that's awesome. We thank you for that. If you're online, you give your house, you can throw those hands down. Praise God that salvation happens in the house of the Lord. If you're online and you raised your hand, we are so thankful for you for doing that. If you're in the house, we are so, listen, angels in heaven are celebrating right now, because you know what? You now have Jesus as your Savior. And I want to tell you today that this isn't your finish line. This is a starting block of the rest of your life, the rest of eternity, where you can walk in the fullness of the goodness of God, and that happens in the body of Christ. So if you're watching online, or you're even in the house and you're from out of town, we want to get you to a church where you can grow and thrive in the Lord, where you can take deep roots in the Lord and be all that he created you to be. And for the rest of us right now, with every head bowed, we normally go straight into worship, but the worship team will be getting set up, and even the worship team may be here, and I don't want to embarrass them as they do that. They can kind of do it silently. But right now, if you're struggling with worry and anxiety, will you just lift your hand up? I want to pray for you before we go into worship, because I want us just to be able to go into worship. Right now, if you just have any anxiety or any struggle that you're worried with, I see those hands, okay? If you leave those hands up and surrender to the Lord really quickly, dear Jesus, you know these hands, you know these hearts. You know, in our humanness, God, all of us worry and we have stress and we have anxiety, and Jesus, you don't beat us up for it. You don't make us feel shameful for it. You don't make us feel guilty for it. Instead, Jesus, you put your arms around us and say, child, talk to me. I'm here with you. So right now, Jesus, I pray that we would so clearly hear your voice. We would so clearly hear your peace. That, Jesus, we would so clearly feel your love, that today that worry and anxiety would just melt away. That today, Jesus, we would just stand in your presence and we would get to feel your goodness and we would get to feel your light go in us and through us. And Jesus, we would get to be a beacon of you to others to say, hey, Jesus, Jesus helped me in this. I went to Jesus. You're struggling with an anxiety. Listen, I had the same thing. And until I surrendered it to the Lord, I couldn't get through it. Jesus, we know this isn't a magic pill. This isn't something that happens overnight. But Jesus, you will lead us step by step through us. So right now, with those hands that are up, would you remind them that they're not walking through it alone? And today, would your church be your body for those who are, and walk through it with them? And so, Jesus, we love you. We thank you for all that you are and the goodness of God that you are to us. It's in your name we pray and for your glory. Amen. If you want to go ahead and look up and stand up, for those, maybe you're not worrying in worship, maybe you're in the moment where you just didn't want to raise your hand, that's totally fine. Would you worship freely in this moment? And let's give God the glory he deserves. Thank you.
you healer. Can mend any broken heart. I call you faithful Father. Finish everything you start. My soul was made. He's fun. I know you by a thousand names, and you deserve every single one. You've given me a million ways to be amazed at what you've done, and I am lost.
God, All I'm saying. We got to be excited about that. I'm so thankful that we get to be in the house of the Lord to celebrate Mother's Day. I know I'm going to do something really crazy here for a minute, as always. Before we go, I know we normally like to just jump right in and get everything out. So I want to tell you a couple of things before we start trying to get a million things. Take a picture with mom. Take a picture with family before you leave really quickly, before we start cleaning this up. Let's take a good, the kids are going to run crazy here in a minute. So before they start going crazy, get all sweaty, get some good pictures. We've got a nice bench out there. Got a nice little photo backdrop for the moms in the room. We have a gift for you. We've got, as always, trademark, as always, we have the Bath and Body Works soap. There's three different kinds. Inside of that's also a stress candle. I don't know if the glass breaks, but, you know, if you throw it, at least it'll have a pleasing aroma in the house, wherever you are. There's Dove chocolates that you don't want to mess up because it's in a beautiful heart, but we're not going to be mad. It's lasted long enough, so get you a good handful and slide those in your pocket. Have those. The reason we get those, I want to tell you, I'm a big believer in Dove chocolates. They have wonderful sayings in there. So don't just think the wrapper is just a wrapper like a Hershey Kiss wrapper. We're getting knocked off copyright everywhere. But wherever you are, open it up. There'll be some good things in there, some good motivation. But also, we have some roses for mom. If you would like to take a rose, we would love for you to do that and be able to celebrate all of our moms. So as we get here, I know people have plans and all this crazy good stuff. We'll get this stuff packed up. Take a good 5-10 minutes. Get those things. Get your pictures with your family. And then we can attack this before everything gets rocking and rolling. Does that sound like a plan? All right, I'm going to pray to send us out. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity again to come into your house. Thank you for all the mothers that you have given us. It is the first picture of your love for us, loving us before we were ever seen, Jesus. So we thank you for all the moms that are here with us. We thank you for all the moms that are in heaven with you. And we thank you for each and every person today that is perhaps a future mother. We thank you for all the mothers who are trying to be mothers. Maybe they've gone through treatment after treatment, and it doesn't seem that they can do it, Lord, and it doesn't seem that you're going to come through for them. But Jesus, you didn't say that they can't get into heaven if they don't bear children down here. You said they can love just like you do. So with those who are struggling with that, I pray that they would see the love that they have as a mother to each and every person you place in their path. Right now, as we have worry and anxiety consuming us, it's thrown at us 24/7 from endless scrolls, from endless news cycles. I pray that instead we would be filled with heaven and we would focus on you, focus on your provision, and most importantly, focus on your love, Jesus, so that we can be your light to a dark world that so desperately needs you and your peace. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. It's in your name and for your glory we pray. Amen. Hope to see you next week as we continue the mountain.